response to Mr. Skidmore's point, I cannot find that the jury has made a coherent, unified request not to pursue this avenue of inquiry based on this. So, Mr. Skidmore, your additional points?
The additional points that I have, Your Honor, is first, we've been discussing perjury here this morning. Perjury has a statute of limitation of only 5 years. That's one of the critical things that has to be evaluated before any such indictment would be presented to the grand jurors. And I talk about an indictment. I know that Mr. Southwell is talking about a report from the grand jury, an investigative report. But the problem with the investigative reports is that they're supposed to deal with public safety and welfare. And he has yet to articulate or identify an overall systematic issue with either public safety or welfare. What he's done instead, Your Honor, is that he's brought forth a particular piece of litigation that I agree with him has been in the courts for a number of years involving Mr. Haig. And there have been multiple aspects to that litigation, but that's about one case. There is nothing that has been presented to Your Honor this morning that suggests that there is something beyond this one piece of litigation. And within that litigation, it has been up to the Court of Appeals. It has been up to the Supreme Court. It has been in the trial courts multiple times. It is inappropriate in this circumstance to say there should be an investigative report about that particular case. Investigative reports look into systematic issues, such as recently we had a grand jury looking at the Office of Children's Services to determine if there was problems there. Other investigative reports that have been done throughout the history dealt with significant procedural systematic issues, not with an individual case or an individual incident. And it's for that reason that an investigative report is not appropriate. If the grand jury chose to investigate a particular crime, they could do that. But one of the first aspects to be evaluated for any crime, and looking back at Alaska Statute 1240.040, which is one of the statutes that Mr. Southwell refers to, and a grand juror's obligation to bring to a grand jury's attention any triable offense that the grand juror is aware of. Well, in this case, unless the perjury supposedly has occurred within the last 5 years, that's not a triable offense. That's not something that's worthwhile for the grand jury to spend time on, because as you've already articulated, there is no legal basis for it to go forward, and any motion to dismiss would have to be granted based on the statutes and the legal interpretations. This also goes back to the point that Your Honor made, that the advisement of the grand jury requires an individual with a background training certified by the bar, a member of the bar, to advise the jury about the evidence and about the other aspects of the law. I am in no way meaning to demean Mr. Southwell and what may be very good research skills on his part, but without having that degree, without having that background in the presentation of the law, then the grand jury runs the risk of being lost, of sort of wandering around in that legal landscape without appropriate guidance. And all of those issues suggest that it's improper for any of it to be done in the way in which Mr. Southwell has described, not the least of which is that he wants to do the presentation himself. That's not appropriate. There has to be a legal advisor to the grand jury, and that's what he's trying to sidestep. If he really wants to bring these issues forward, I understand the Kenai District Attorney's Office has reached out to him. I recognize he may not want the Kenai District Attorney's Office involved, given some of the allegations he may want to make. If that's the case, then he's more than welcome to contact my office, and I will evaluate it, and I will find a prosecutor in the state who is not conflicted out. And then we can assign that prosecutor to review it and determine if there's anything appropriate to go forward. The other problem I think we have, quite frankly, this morning, Judge, is that there are other cases that were scheduled for 9 o'clock this morning. Mr. Southwell is not on the schedule, despite his assertions that he believes that he was. And the fact that he's told grand jurors multiple times before that he wanted to present something, and none of them have indicated that they wanted to hear something, I get that you have made the finding that the grand jury has not in and of itself said, no, we don't want to hear it, but neither, Your Honor, has the grand jury said, by a majority, yes, we do want to look into something, and it's that affirmative step that's required. So, without that affirmative step, there is also nothing to be presented in this circumstance. So, I apologize, Your Honor, there are a multitude of reasons that are jumbled within there, and I wish I would have had the opportunity and time to organize my thoughts a little better for you and make them a little more delineated so we can go through them one at a time. But it's for all of the reasons that I've described that I believe it's inappropriate for this presentation to occur at this time. If Mr. Southwell wants to contact my office, I'm happy to work with him. I'm happy to review the information he has, and we'll determine if there's something appropriate to be presented to a grand jury.
All right, thank you. Just as a response, I think, if I understand him correctly, Mr. Southwell correctly, he has alleged reasons to believe that there is system-wide corruption with the prosecution. That's why he mentioned Ted Stevens. But I understand your other points. So I guess the bottom line is this, Mr. Southwell, for practical reasons, among others, I'm not going to allow you to present your witnesses to the grand jury this morning, in part because there's other cases that are being presented. So I'm not saying that we might not, I'm not saying that, I'm not ruling out the possibility of making some sort of presentment to the grand jury and asking them if this is something they want to pursue. Sounds as though Mr. Skidmore is suggesting that that might be a possibility. But honestly, I go back to the letter I sent to you, which my understanding of the interplay between the various entities here, the court, the grand jury, and the prosecutor, is that the prosecutor is supposed to be the advisor to the grand juries and is supposed to make the presentments. And I think it would be a good idea if you took him up on his offer to talk to someone not connected to the Kenai District Attorney's Office case, Kenai District Attorney's Office involvement with the cases that you're referring to, and talk to an independent prosecutor. So, I don't know what your thoughts are about that.
Well, you've got the power. So, I appreciate you. Putting my name out there is the judge that has not allowed me to present that. And it is a systemic issue, and that would be presented to the grand jury. I mean, there's so much information that attorneys that practice law keep quiet. They disclose information from time to time, and I've got that information. But again, they risk their livelihood going to the system and expecting any kind of change. So I don't see, and I'll give it some thought. And Judge Skidmore?
No, he's not a judge. John Skidmore. He's okay. The director of the Department of Law, Criminal Division of the Department of Law, and he is the head DA, basically, for the state.
Okay. So I'll give that some consideration, but I have, based on the research, and this far wider, broader, and as you recognize, Judge, the Ted Stevens case, I don't understand the Ted Stevens case. You know, the Joseph Botani is still working as a prosecutor in Alaska. The system works? No, the system doesn't work. And so I don't want to waste any more of my time. I will continue to pursue an approach to publicly speaking of what I have found that, again, is widespread and I believe systemic, far wider and broader than what's happened to David Haig. But he exemplifies, his situation exemplifies the failure.
Your question. Mr. Garber's here because I brought him here. Just so that you're aware of that. And I guess what I was looking at it from the approach of the multiple injustices that have occurred. And the reason I never gave you any information is because I don't have the trust of your profession.
Okay.
Now, I spent 36 years as a registered nurse. And in that profession, we did a very good job policing our profession. Mm-hmm. Your Alaska Bar Association has failed the citizens of Alaska. That is clear because this is so broad spectrum. David is just the tip of the iceberg. It goes farther than that. And all those facts, the Marla Greenstein, the trooper caught asking for evidence to be destroyed, and then that trooper recommending the attorney to become a judge. I mean, it's all, everybody's covering each other's back, so I don't trust you.
Okay.
Now, you personally, I don't know, but you're a lawyer, and I look at that profession, and it's failed the Alaskan citizens at every level. So that's why I wanted to go to the grand jury, is because I believe that if I give this information to the public, they're going to be outraged.
Okay, so let me talk about that for just a moment. Grand jury is really set up to do two things. One is to look at crimes. The other one is to look at public safety and the general welfare. And those are two separate functions of the grand jury. Looking at crimes has to run through a prosecutor, and in this case through the Department of Law, because we are the prosecutors. And so that's sort of one group of things. The other thing is if there is some systematic issue, and this is the first time I've heard articulated a systematic issue.
I object. I disagree with that, but go ahead.
I agree that you have previously said you think there are issues of public safety and general welfare. What I'm indicating is this the first time you have said you think it's the whole legal profession is the issue.
It is a systemic problem.
Okay.
That was communicated at that hearing. Judge Wells acknowledged that.
Okay, so I don't want to get into a tit for tat.
Right, but that
is the first clear articulation that I have.
It was clearly articulated on that basis.
David, what do you want to accomplish today?
I want to go over that there is a clear law. It says this. It says, it's AS 1240.040. It says, juror to disclose knowledge of crime.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say about issues affecting public safety or whatever. If an individual grand juror knows or has reason to believe that a crime has been committed which is triable by the court, the juror shall disclose it to the other grand jurors who shall investigate it. And my other concern is that in this report done by the Alaska Judicial Council at the request of the Alaska Senate, it goes over and over and over how the grand juror and the grand jury is supposed to investigate and look into all this stuff independent of any government agency, because they're supposed to investigate government agencies. That's their investigative duty rather than their charging duty. And when Mr. Southwell brought in me and Tony and Jackie and about, I don't know, three or four other witnesses, Mr. Scott Leaders came in and said he couldn't do that. Well, there's a law that says he has to.
So